Good morning. My name is Sarah, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Pason Systems Inc. First Quarter Results Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there'll be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, you may press the pound key. The contents of today's call are protected by copyright and may not be reproduced without the prior written consent of Pason Systems Inc. Please note that the advisories located at the end of the press release issued by Pason Systems yesterday, which describe forward-looking information. Certain information about the company that is discussed on today's call may constitute forward-looking information. Additional information about Pason Systems, including the risk factors relevant to the company, can be found in its annual information form. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Marcel Kessler, President and CEO, and Jod Faber, CFO. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Pason's First Quarter 2018 conference call. I will start with the highlights of first quarter performance. Jod will dive into the details of our financial and operational performance. I will close with our perspectives on the outlook for the industry and for Pason, and we will then take any questions. Pason achieved good first quarter 2018 results. We generated revenue of $73.8 million in the period, an increase of 25% from the prior year quarter and up 11% from the fourth quarter of last year. The main drivers of revenue growth were increased drilling activity and market share gains in the United States, as well as higher revenue per EDR day in both Canada and the United States. Revenue from our international business was also up, driven by activity improvements in Argentina and Australia. Adjusted EBITDA was $34.8 million for the quarter, an increase of 40% from the prior year quarter and up 26% sequentially. Adjusted EBITDA as a percentage of revenue increased to 47%. The driver of this improvement was the significant increase in revenue with high incremental margins. Pason recorded net income of $12.4 million, or 14 cents per share, compared to $6.8 million, or 8 cents per share in 2017, an increase of 82%. On March 31st, our working capital position stood at $212 million, including cash of $163 million. We carry no debt on our balance sheet, and we are maintaining our quarterly dividend at 17 cents per share. Starting this quarter, we are reporting our revenue along five product categories, which better reflect the changing nature of Pason's business and which are aligned with how we think about our investments in new products and services. The first segment is drilling data. It contains all products and services associated with acquiring, displaying, storing, and delivering drilling data. This includes our core product, the electronic drilling recorder, or EDR, and all its peripherals. It also includes Pason Live and the Data Hub, various data feed services, and the electronic service recorder. The drilling data segment currently accounts for about half of Pason's total revenue. The second segment, mud management and safety, includes products such as the pit volume totalizer, gas analyzer, hazardous gas alarm, and the electronic choke actuator. In the first quarter, mud management and safety generated 29% of total revenue. Third, the communication segment includes satellite and terrestrial internet bandwidth, wireless rig site, VoIP and intercom services, and accounted for 11% of total revenue. The drilling intelligence segment bundles Pason's offers targeted at enabling our customers' drilling optimization and automation efforts. It contains products such as auto drillers, the Able Directional Advisor, and the ExxonMobil DAS Drilling Advisory System. In the first quarter, Drilling Intelligence generated 6% of total revenue. Finally, Analytics and Other includes our Verdazzo Discovery Analytics product, various types of reports, and other, and accounted for 4% of revenue. I am now turning the call over to John Faber for a more detailed look at the financials.
Thank you, Marcel. As Marcel noted, we were pleased with Pason's first quarter financial results. A significant improvement in U.S. industry activity, market share gains made throughout the past year, and higher revenue per EDR day all drove strong U.S. results. Despite a more challenging industry context, our Canadian business unit was able to post strong results by retaining a strong competitive position and increasing revenue per EDR day through increased adoption of new product offerings, particularly in our drilling intelligence category. We saw revenue gains in each of our international markets. Continued discipline around both operating costs and capital expenditures drove strong incremental margins and free cash flow. Consolidated revenue in the first quarter totaled $73.8 million, up 25% from the same period in 2017 and up 11% sequentially from the fourth quarter. Increased industry activity, growth in U.S. market share, and improvements in revenue per EDR day all contributed to year-over-year revenue growth, while the seasonal nature of the Canadian drilling industry helped drive the sequential improvement. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter of $34.8 million represented an adjusted EBITDA margin of 47%. This compared to $24.9 million and a 42% margin in the prior year period and was a $7 million sequential improvement from the fourth quarter of 2017. Net income of $12.4 million for the quarter was up $5.6 million from the first quarter of 2017 and up $7.3 million sequentially. On a per-share basis, earnings for the quarter came in at 14 cents a share compared to 8 cents per share a year ago. Capital expenditures of $5.8 million in the first quarter were up $4.7 million from the same period of 2017 and down 37% sequentially. We continue to expect to spend up to $25 million on capital expenditures, including the capitalized portion of our R&D and IT investments in 2018. Financial results in our U.S. business unit continue to be strong. In the first quarter, revenue of $44.1 million was up 47% compared to $30 million in the first quarter of 2017 and up 5% sequentially from the fourth quarter. Year over year, industry activity increased 32%, while market share increased by 500 basis points. Revenue per EDR day increased 7%, both as a result of higher adoption of a broader range of Pason products associated with recent market share gains and targeted price increases on some of our existing products. Sequentially, industry activity was up slightly from the fourth quarter, and revenue per EDR day increased by 5%. Market share was down slightly compared to the fourth quarter due to the mix of customers who were active during the period. Segment gross profit for the U.S. business unit of $23.4 million in the quarter was a $12.6 million improvement from the prior year period and increased $1.7 million sequentially. The Canadian business unit managed to outperform challenging industry conditions in the first quarter. While industry activity was 9% lower compared to the first quarter of 2017, Pason's revenue decrease was only 2%. A 10% improvement in revenue per EDR day, driven by the rollout of products in our drilling intelligence suite and adoption of certain additional communications offerings, helped to offset much of the revenue decreases in other product categories. Sequentially, revenue increased 32%, driven by a 29% increase in industry activity and a 260 basis point increase in market share. Segment gross profit for the Canadian business unit of $11.7 million was down $548,000 from the first quarter of 2017 and up $7.7 million sequentially. In the international business unit, the first quarter delivered higher revenue in each of our operating geographies. As a result, first quarter revenue of $6.3 million was up 23% from the first quarter of 2017. Sequentially, revenue as stated in Canadian dollars was essentially unchanged as a significant devaluation of the Argentinian peso between the fourth quarter of 2017 and the first quarter of 2018 offset gains measured in local currencies. Segment gross profit in the international business unit improved by $770,000 year over year, from a loss of $134,000 in 2017 to a profit of $636,000 in 2018. Sequentially, international business unit segment gross profit was up 15%. To recap, our financial results in the first quarter were strong. We saw significant revenue growth in the U.S. and international segments, while the Canadian business unit managed to outperform a difficult operating environment. We continue to see benefit from the operating leverage in our business and continue to post attractive incremental margins. Our balance sheet is strong with $212 million of working capital, including $163 million of cash and no debt. We are maintaining our quarterly dividend at 17 cents per share. And I will now turn the call back to Marcel for his comments on our outlook.
Thank you, John. Our level of confidence in the successful commercialization of new products has grown through the first quarter of 2018. The number of successful technical and commercial trials has increased significantly. For example, during the peak of the winter drilling season, we had over 70 concurrent installs of new drilling intelligence products in Canada, resulting, as John mentioned, in a year-over-year increase of revenue per EDR day of 10%. We have increased our total investment in R&D and IT with a particular focus on machine learning algorithms. There is some further growth planned for the coming quarters. Our capital expenditures will be relatively modest going forward, with a large portion of development efforts focused on software and analytics. We intend to spend up to $25 million in capital expenditures in 2018. Our highly capable and flexible IT and communications platform can host additional new Payson and third-party software at the rig site and in the cloud. Finally, a quick look at the global energy picture. There were no more increases in global oil stocks during the first quarter of 2018, supported by OPEC and Russia-led production cuts. It appears that the oil market is coming into balance, and this has led to higher oil prices. In addition, after 3 years of underinvestment in global E&P spending, the worldwide production base has started to show signs of weakness with year-over-year production declines in several countries. It is becoming increasingly likely that the industry will face supply challenges over the coming years, and a significant increase in global E&P investment will be required to minimize the impending deficit. The only major sources of short-term supply growth to address global production declines are in the Middle East, Russia, and the U.S. shale industry. Payson's market positions remain very strong. We are the service provider of choice for many leading operators and drilling contractors, with Payson equipment installed on over 65% of all active land drilling rigs in the Western Hemisphere. We are uniquely positioned to participate in the industry's growth. And we would now be happy to take any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question, press star and then the number one on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. Your first question comes from a line of Greg Coleman from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Just and congrats on the good quarter, guys. Just a couple questions here. Incremental margins. We saw a couple hundred basis points ahead of what we were expecting, over 500 basis point gain from Q4. Is there still some more to go there, or is this 47% EBITDA near the top of what we're looking for? And just to put it a different way, you know, what are the incremental margins you're seeing from the added dollar of revenue? Are you near the top of the margin band before you need to step up costs on either bandwidth or, you know, regional basis or something, or should we still see some more expansion from here?
Hey, Greg, it's John. I think there is opportunity for some more incremental margins from here. I guess there's maybe two specific things I would point to. One is more and more of our revenue growth is coming from some of these more software-based or algorithm products, particularly in that drilling intelligence suite where there isn't quite the same amount of repair expense, for example, because you're not dealing with a hardware product. And also some of the expense we would have incurred as the industry has been picking up has been more around the repair expense side, and we think we're in good position with our equipment now to sort of have more of a normalized repair expense going forward. So both of those should help on the incremental margin basis.
Any thoughts on quantifying incremental margins?
I think I'll just say we think there's still some room from here.
All right. Thanks, John. Marcel, you were mentioning, in your closing remarks there about potential for supply growth, and you highlighted on a few regions, including Russia, the Middle East, and the U.S. shale. Your position in the U.S. shale is strong with 60% plus market share, depending on how you slice it. But in the other parts of the world, your market share, I believe, is sitting a little bit lower. What are your thoughts on increasing Pason's exposure to that part of the world, if that's going to be something that drives incremental production?
Yes, so you're right. Obviously, our exposure in the U.S. and specifically in the Permian is significant. And in fact, our Permian market share would be above average for the U.S., so it's higher than 60%. We have not been present in Russia and have no plans to do so. But as you know, we have entered the Middle East market a few years ago, one through a joint venture in Saudi Arabia, and with a business development office in Dubai that serves the broader region, including Kuwait, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates. We estimate that our market share today in the Middle East in terms of presence on rigs is probably of the order of 10%. Obviously, a lot of room for growth there, but clearly we intend to participate in any growth in that region.
Okay, great. Thank you for that color on it. And then just two last quick ones for me. Specifically on the U.S., with the activity uptick, with the oil uptick here, are you seeing any activity upticks in some of the higher cost regions like the Bakken, with WTI sitting firmly above $65 here?
We haven't seen much yet. Really, most of the activity increase has been and still is focused in the Permian.
Okay, good. And then just finally on the dividend, minimal capital expenditures coming in this year. Moving on to software stuff, which is lower CapEx, positive outlook on oil, and your comments last quarter that an increase in the quarterly dividend would likely be the highest priority. What would your views be today on the dividend and the dividend growth probability?
I think there's a couple of considerations when you look at the regular dividend, and so I probably need to sort of bifurcate the discussion around excess cash balance, because I think we've been fairly transparent about the fact that we probably have more cash on the balance sheet that we need for the long term, and then the question around the excess cash flow generation. Because we have pretty significant operating leverage in the business, obviously that helps us when things go up, but if the back half of the year was to be a little slower than what the forecasts are today, then pretty quickly that buffer of free cash flow generation could get absorbed. So that's one thing we sort of keep in mind, particularly as we come into the second quarter, which is our slowest quarter typically because of the seasonality of the Canadian business. We probably want some clarity around what that back half delivery will look like in terms of the free cash flow side. And then the other thing you look at is, while we don't have specific targets around yields and payout ratios and those sorts of things, I would note that in the first quarter, which is a strong quarter for us, we delivered 14 cents of earning, and the dividend is still 17 cents per share. So that would be something that we would be mindful of as well. But it is certainly one of the capital allocation questions that we look at regularly is what we're doing with the regular dividend.
So, John, would it be accurate to characterize those comments as you sort of dialing back a little bit the optimism on potentially a dividend increase in the near term?
I think it's really around the question around the confidence on free cash flow generation kind of sustainably in the long run. So as that confidence continues to build and macroeconomic factors seem to be improving, particularly on the U.S. side, that would give more credence to looking at it. But there's nothing that we're announcing today in terms of the regular dividend.
Got it.
Yeah,
thanks,
Greg. I don't think it being the first priority or a high priority for the board or our optimism around future growth has really changed, right? I think it's what John has been saying here is just our free cash flow generation in the first quarter outpaced the dividend by a bit, by not that much. We have spent more on the dividend than we have generated in earnings. And going into the second quarter, which, as you know, is typically the slowest quarter for Paysan in the year, it didn't feel like this was the right time to make that increase.
No, that's good color. I appreciate it, and congrats on the quarter again, and that's it for me.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ian Gillies from GMP. Your line is open.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Ian.
Morning.
In the release, you specifically highlight running the drilling intelligence product on 70 rigs in Canada. And with respect to that, I mean, is that really the focus area of growth right now, and then you'll take that product and move it down to the U.S. and try and market it there when you have more data? Or can you just, I guess, provide a bit of an update around the strategy there and why there was no specific mention of the U.S., I guess?
Yeah, so it was a decision to essentially trial the product and refine it in Canada first. So that was a very conscious decision, and we felt that we wanted to do that in Canada now because the major activity is actually in the winter drilling season. We felt that it would be a missed opportunity to refine the product here close to our R&D base. We would have to wait almost until the next winter drilling season to have the numbers that we were able to have here. The idea clearly is to roll this out more broadly into the U.S. and internationally as well. It is not a reflection of our belief around where growth will come from in the future. It's quite the opposite. It's quite obvious that the growth has been and will likely continue to be in the U.S.
Okay. And with respect to, I guess, the drilling intelligence service line and what was working during the quarter, was there any particular products that stood out to you that customers wanted or seemed to be particularly impressed with? Just given, I mean, there's a number of different items in there, whether it be ABLE or the drilling advisory system and so forth.
There are several products in there, some of which we have talked about, a couple which we have actually not. Some of the customer pull is, interestingly, for some products we have not yet talked about. We feel it's not quite ready for making it public. I think the one product that really stood out that we have talked about is the deployment of the ExxonMobil VAS algorithm combined with an auto driller. And that has been the biggest number in the first quarter here.
And not to get too deep in the weeds, but why those two products together?
So the two products together is essentially ExxonMobil VAS is available in two fundamentally different implementations. One is with the auto driller and one is without. And again, don't want to get too technical here, but there are two different implementations of that combination too. One is on the more traditional mechanical rigs and the other is on the modern AC rigs. So those are different implementations. So we have solutions for both. But we were able to demonstrate the biggest performance improvement and had most customer interest here in the winter drilling season in Canada, then combining the algorithm, the Exxon VAS drilling algorithm, with an auto driller.
Okay. And with respect to the U.S., I mean, the revenue per EDR day on a consolidated basis ticked up nicely sequentially. Was there any particular product adoptions there that helped boost that number, or is there anything we should be thinking about with respect to that, I guess, that data point?
Sure, Ian. There's sort of two contributors to the growth on the U.S. revenue per EDR day. One is what we've talked about the last couple of conference calls around pulling along some of these follow-on rentals alongside some of the revenue market share gains we'd had in prior quarters. And then we'd also mentioned that we did have some targeted price increases on certain products that would have been implemented very late in the fourth quarter, so the effects would really show up in the first quarter. Probably north of three-quarters of the revenue per EDR day improvement actually comes from just adoption overall of some of these pull-through revenue items, and for a little less than a quarter from the price increase side. But there's no one specific product. It's really that suite of follow-on rentals that's come alongside.
Okay. Are you able to provide a bit of an update on what's happening in Saudi Arabia? There's obviously, it looks like there's been some rigs changing hands, some rigs being laid down, and so could we maybe just get a bit of an update on market share and what you're seeing from a customer demand standpoint in that region and perhaps even what you're hearing from your customers or from a rig count growth perspective moving forward?
So the rig counts in the kingdom have been surprisingly constant over the last several years, and they hover around the low 200s. We don't have much insight into the plans. I think there's some modest growth plans, but I haven't seen anything that would be a game changer in terms of growth plans. In terms of our market share, we have been of the order of 10%, as in the broader Middle East region. We announced that last year we've had our first direct contract with Saudi Aramco that was awarded last summer. And we are now in the process of trialing some of our new drilling intelligence products with Saudi Aramco. Now, obviously, we hope that some of those will gain traction. I think that would be very important for Pason's future with Saudi Aramco, but it's early days, so I don't want to give you an outlook of how that might play out.
Okay. And last one for me, John, you spent some time talking about what you called the regular dividend, and perhaps I'm just reading too much into it, but is there going to be some contemplation around a special dividend at some point, given the cash position, and just to, rather than having that quarter-to-quarter, I guess, cash commitment?
Well, I think there are different ways of dealing with the excess cash balance side, right, if we then separate those two. So, one way was, of course, maintaining the regular dividend through the downturn, which we'd done, and we did take a little bit of cash off the balance sheet to do that a couple of years ago. You know, the other kind of three available sources of capital for capital allocation, really, you know, M&A opportunities as they become available, and that's an opportunistic question, the special dividend concept or share buybacks. I don't think we would necessarily immediately gravitate to the special dividend as first among those three, but those would be the three that would be contemplated if we were looking to remove some of the excess cash balance.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll turn the call back over.
Okay. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of John Morrison from CIBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Morning, all.
Morning, John.
I realize it might be hard to communicate, or you don't want to communicate it at this point, but what would be the upside revenue potential on a per-day basis for a rig that was running a high suite of, call it, traditional Pason products that then moved to a high level of incremental new drilling intelligence products? Call it the Exelon DAS, the Able, and maybe even an AC auto driller.
So, yeah, I probably don't want to quantify that, John. There are two factors, as you know. There's the question around what the price points are for these products, and there's a question around what the adoption rates are for the products.
You could answer both of those. That would be good.
But I think, it's fair to say that if you add the price point, it would be in excess of what we would have today. But then the adoption, obviously, is the big question mark that, frankly, we can't predict what that would be, right? So,
yeah, so I think on the price point, I think we could, for a fully outfitted rig, it would be a significant increase in revenue per ETR day. Now, again, the penetration, your estimate is as good as ours at this point.
Okay. Is it fair to assume that we're talking hundreds of dollars per day is the upside potential one versus the other? Okay.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. Some of the new items we have here would be significantly higher priced than our traditional products.
Can you share how many customer trials that were going on in Q1 were paid versus essentially free just for a trial basis?
Yeah, very few were actually free trials.
In fact, in Canada.
On the Canadian side, which is where much of this activity was coming from, in fact, the customer interest was so high that simply in order to meet the demand, we weren't able to do free trials because we were too busy on the paid side. So we were only able to accommodate those prepared to pay.
Okay. And when you talk about potential pricing on the back end of it, did any customers come back and say, I think it's a unique product, but from a pricing perspective, it just doesn't make sense, or that doesn't appear to be a pinch point at this stage?
By and large, it doesn't appear to be a pinch point. The Canadian situation, as you know, is quite disconnected from the U.S., and certain Canadian operators feel more of a pinch than others. So it will be a range of conversations, but overall, pricing was not really an issue.
Okay. Is there anything taking hold in the international markets where you operate from a customer perspective that would lead your performance to trend out of line with the rig count growth in those markets? Specifically, has there been any large customer wins or losses that we should be thinking about in any geographies?
Not at this point, no.
Okay. On the dividend, not to harp on it for the entire call, but is it fair to say that stability is king at this point, and the fact that you partially funded it out of the balance sheet in the downturn leaves you less likely to increase it for the coming period, and you'd have to be very confident with the forward market to really think about permanently increasing the dividend?
Yeah, I think we want to be confident on the outlook for our free cash flow generation for the following, say, 18 months maybe. I don't think we ever have much more visibility than that anyway. But as John mentioned, I think our cash flow for free cash flow forecast here for 2018 is a little bit more heavily weighted to the back end than the front end. So we would like to see how that plays out over the next couple of months before making a decision.
Okay. Marcel, is it fair to assume that the modest market share slippage we saw in the U.S. was just customer mix related this quarter and there was no notable customer losses in Q1?
That's correct, yes. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Last one just for me. Can you give any more color on pricing conversations in both Canada and the U.S. right now? And I'm thinking more on your traditional product suite. You just mentioned that there was some pricing gains in the U.S., and I'm wondering if you expect more of that to unfold, or it's fairly static from here?
I don't expect more to unfold in terms of actual price increases, but as John mentioned, in terms of the selective price increases that were made in the United States, you would not have seen that fully come into the financials. So I think you will see more of that or some more of that in Q2.
So on an average basis, it goes up, but probably nothing left in the balance of the year from a price book perspective.
I think that's right, yes.
Okay. Appreciate the color. Good quarter.
Hey, thanks, John.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, press star and then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Ilias Foskolos from Industrial Alliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning, Ilias.
Most of my questions were asked, but I do have one to throw out on drilling intelligence. So clearly we should keep our eyeballs on drilling intelligence, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and clearly we should keep looking at it in the U.S. Is that correct?
Well, I think you'd look at it in both. Now, maybe the one thing to note, Marcel made reference to the sort of the difference between the mechanical rigs and the sort of AC rigs in terms of how some of these products operate. So the mechanical rig installations are a little easier to scale. So that mechanical market, if you will, would be kind of a smaller addressable market, easier to scale, and probably a little less incremental revenue opportunity, whereas the more AC market would be a larger addressable market, a higher incremental revenue opportunity, and likely slower to scale because there's more engineering work to be done. So if you just look at the relative mix in the U.S. versus Canada, because you have less mechanical rigs in the U.S., you probably see a longer timeline to revenue delivery because of the incremental engineering effort in the U.S. market by virtue of the rig mix.
Okay. And if you were testing a lot of, a lot of new products out in Canada before the U.S., can we expect to see U.S. sort of rolling out in the second half of this year? It might not be visible, but is that kind of your, from the financials or the disclosure, but is that kind of the time frame we should be looking at?
Yeah, I think that's the correct time frame, yes.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Elias.
And I'm showing no other questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.